There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Give it to me. Oh, hello, everyone. I'm Molly Wood.
And I'm Tom Merritt.
Welcome to It's a Thing, the weekly podcast supported by you, our dear patrons, where we analyze the hottest trends and happenings, the things that are a thing. We submit ourselves to torture tests and random purchases.
Yes, your Patreon money helped support us all buying and trying pea milk. If you're a patron, check your feed for the bonus content to find out our impressions.
Yeah, yeah. You may hear a little of it in our talking. There may be a little pea milk phlegm
if
happening.
It's possible to have an aftertaste in audio, you may get
you
that.
You might hear it.
A little bit.
Yeah, you might. If you're not a patron and you don't know what we're talking about, patreon.com/itsathing is where you can support our show directly. And many of you do. And we are grateful because it's like the beginning of the month. I feel like I need to tell you guys again. Oh, my God. Thank you. It's seriously so great. And it makes our podcast that much more fun and delightful to do every week. And we will stop talking about that now and start talking about things.
We both have sport things.
I know,
this
we do.
Week,
should we start with our sport thing? Which, by the way, can I say is hilarious because we are recording this, you know, 1 hour and 22 minutes before what could be a very decisive Warriors game. But none of our sport things are about the NBA.
No, they're not. I know. In local news, you normally put the sports right before the weather at the end, right? Mm-hmm. But not here. That's not how we do things on It's a Thing. We lead with the sports.
We're leading with the sports.
We don't keep you sports fans waiting, and we don't make you non-sports fans have to wait and suffer through it. So,
all right, hit us with your sport. Do your sport.
Mine actually starts as a what I call a personal thing, like a local thing. Like, I don't know if this is a big trend, but I'm noticing it in my life. So I'm talking to my neighbor the other day, and his kids are out in our little cul-de-sac with their field hockey or rollerblades, sorry, rollerblades playing field hockey type stuff. And we're talking about hockey. He's like, oh, yeah, we're big Kings fans here in Los Angeles. And I was like, oh, yeah, I like the Kings, but I grew up with the Blues, so I'm a big Blues fan. He's like, oh, hockey fan. All right, cool. Blah, blah, we're talking along. I was like, did you notice there's a family in the next street over? They always have like hockey gear in their in their driveway too. He's like, oh, no, I didn't notice that. He's like, oh, wow. And then I've made some tweets about the St. Louis Blues, some of them not even overtly mentioning it was hockey, like you have to be following the games to understand. And I've got way more response to those tweets than even some tweets about Avengers. So all of a sudden I'm like, huh, maybe hockey is on the rise. You know, maybe there's a little growing hockey wave coming. So I go and I look up hockey to be like, I don't know, is there any stories about trends in hockey? No, the thing I find is an Onion story from a couple days ago with the headline, NHL fan claims hockey way more fun if you were there in person on ice playing games.
Yeah.
So making fun of the people who are like, oh no, if you don't like hockey, it's because you need to go to the game. It's so much more fun in person.
And then if you're just there getting in a fight yourself, you'll love it.
But I think that means that there's enough people saying that to the person who wrote this at The Onion. That like many, many great trends start by being worth mocking. It's not worth mocking if nobody knows about it.
I feel like what you have actually told us is that hockey not being a thing is a thing.
That's how it starts.
That's
right?
Amazing.
Yeah.
That is amazing. The extent to which hockey is super duper not a thing is a thing.
No, that's
I know that's not where you're going with it. I know.
No,
I know you were hoping it was a thing.
Well, that's why I said this is a personal thing. I'm like, oh, there are actually hockey fans around. I am not used to that. I saw a guy with a Boston Bruins hat on the other day, just walking down the street.
I'm seeing a lot of tweets about it. But it is sort of the same people who always tweet about hockey, so I can't
see.
Say
I never
I've
see
an
anyone
uptick.
Tweeting about hockey, so that's part of my like, that's interesting.
All right. Yeah. Well, I will be interested to know. You can email us. And so many of you do, by the way, which is awesome. Feedback at itsathing.me. Tell us if you think that hockey is a thing, this particular playoff go round, because it does feel present. Or do you think it is so not a thing that that makes it a thing?
Or is it going to be a thing in 5 years?
Maybe. I want to be with you here.
You're the nicest co-host ever. Because I know what you want to say.
I don't want to crush your dreams. It's possible.
No, I appreciate that. I really do.
I mean, look, because my thing is that soccer's finally hit. Like, I think it was last week that people were talking about whether Linux on the desktop was finally a thing. I feel like hockey being popular and soccer becoming a big deal in America.
There's hope for hockey if soccer is this popular.
Exactly. Like, both of those things were in the Linux on the desktop category for so long. For years, it was like, here it comes. People care about the World Cup. This is it. The women's team made us care. Like, footy is coming to the United States. And it has-ish. But honestly, I feel like this is the year. I saw a soccer ad during the NBA finals, and not a commercial, but like an in-game promo. Like don't forget to tune in to the Bloobity Blob Champions League and the this and that. And then apparently everyone in America knew about this Liverpool-Barcelona game. Either that it had happened or that Liverpool had a big comeback and beat Barcelona. But the level of mainstream excitement about that game, whatever the heck it was. Like, apparently there's some Champions League going on. And I was like, is that World Cup? Like, honestly, I don't even know. I will get up early and I will go to the Brazilian restaurant to watch the World Cup games because it's heck of fun and the guys are cute. But I'm not paying attention. And I've seen ads for, I'm seeing ads for those, the morning games. Like, they're literally just mainstream ads on TV, like, get up in the morning and watch soccer, which my Irish stepbrother-in-law totally does. But I didn't know normal people did.
That's an NBC, breakfast with the Premier League, right? I always see those because NBC carries all the hockey playoff games. So they're always advertising their Premier League mornings thing. I've seen that. Wait a minute. You weren't watching the NBA on TNT. They couldn't have been. Or does TNT carry soccer now? Maybe I'm just out of it.
I think TNT carries soccer now.
Okay. Yeah.
I think that's what we're talking about.
That's a step.
Like,
that's
it's a thing.
Because years ago, when I came over to watch the World Cup at your house, remember that?
Yeah, I do.
That's when soccer, we were both at the time talking about, like, did you know they actually have soccer scores on ESPN now? That would never happen before, right? Yep. Like, that was the beginning, and now it's full blown.
It is full blown. Like, soccer has legit arrived as a thing. To hear the NBA finals announcers or playoffs announcers being like, bleepity bloop, this game, don't want to miss that. And can you believe that comeback by Liverpool? And I was like, what is happening? It was like a European invasion. I mean, I'm down with it.
They have,
I like it.
2019 UEFA Champions League on TNT. It's the Premier League on NBC. The Champions League is on. Yeah. Okay. Champions League is where the teams that do really well in the various leagues all play together in a league to see who's the best of the best.
Yeah, and see, this is where it loses me every time. Like, I really like to watch it. I think I see the beautiful game thing. I think it's a wonderful sport. Mm-hmm. I really enjoy it on TV. I don't need to play it. But once they start talking about all the different leagues, and there's the Premier League and the Champions League and the this thing and that thing, and this is on at this time in the morning, I'm like, call me when it's the World Cup.
Let me try this. Imagine if after the World Series, the both teams from the World Series, I think I have this right, like the American League champion, the National League champion, start playing in a league with the Venezuelan League champion, the Mexican League champion, the Japan League champion, the Korean League champion, and that was like a new 2 month baseball league.
Oh, I see.
That's what's going on.
So it's not the players. It's not like a big all-star shuffle them up.
Each team is the actual team.
That won all over the place. Oh, okay, I got it. I rudely said nope, but what I meant was, oh, okay.
Nope, wait.
I get it. Okay, thank you. I get it. Also, the chat into the Discord is making a really good point, which is that some of this has to do probably with live sports being one of the last anchors of, frankly, television.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. So they're like, they're talking about the land grab. Josh T in the Discord says there's a great interview with Bill Simmons and his former boss at ESPN talking in detail about the land grab for sports programming rights, possibly any sport, because they're basically just like, give it to me, give it to me.
Yeah. And you combine that with, you know, years of kids growing up playing soccer, which started when I was a kid. Like, we got our first soccer league, I don't know, when I was in third grade, fifth grade, something like that. And that was new. And then that became the thing. Like, kids all play soccer, and the term soccer mom became a, you know, became a thing. And now it's just cliche, right? But when you've got decades and decades of kids playing soccer, and the parents played soccer when they were a kid, then they're more likely to be interested in some soccer. Then you combine that with, like, companies like, we have to put something on that people watch.
I guess so. Yeah.
Yeah.
Huh. All right. Well, so there's there's hope for hockey yet.
See,
the thing about hockey,
is an international sport. It's just only the teams play in the U.S. None of the fans are here.
I know. The thing that hockey actually probably has to get over, honestly, if it's because the thing about soccer and basketball and football, like, they're very diverse sports. And hockey still really isn't. Like, hockey is still a white people sport. Most of the players are white. It's white countries. Like, I think I could imagine that it would find more traction if it had broader appeal.
Well, that's the thing. It's like rugby in that way. And rugby isn't even a white sport, but rugby has the same limited geographics, right? Hockey is cold weather countries, mostly Canada, Eastern Europe, Russia, some other European countries, but it's not even like Southern Europe. It's just the cold places.
Yeah, yeah.
And so you don't have the world playing it. Rugby is kind of the opposite. It's Western Europe, South Africa, Argentina, New Zealand, and Australia. That's right. It.
And also in those countries, they care a lot.
So rugby is the best, man.
It's basically unwatchably violent.
They have the blood bend, sure.
I played rugby. I know from whence I speak. I was literally recruited to play rugby.
Bad.
I got a bruise when I was playing rugby that lasted 2 years.
Did you ever get sent off to the blood bin?
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. I got like 3 concussions.
You gotta love a sport that has a blood bin. Come on.
He's like, yeah, it's not that bad.
God, it's not, shake it off. You're fine. Look at you.
It's not what
Look
you call you. Relatable.
It is really fun to watch, especially when you don't understand it.
Because it's really like, fun.
Wait, why are they doing that?
Amazing.
Not claiming rugby as a thing, by the way. Not yet.
No. Rugby has
But lightsaber
not.
Dueling is.
What? It
legit.
Is? Oh my God, please tell me more. Oh, this legit. Is so sporty.
Lightsaber dueling was officially recognized by the French Fencing Federation.
What?
And could be an Olympic sport.
Stop it. Stop. I just clicked on your link. There is a link, you guys. Saber
Legion. The Washington Post.
.org. Legion.
There's a worldwide association, if you're interested in getting started in the sport, at saberlegion.org.
Oh,
you have to have a lit up lightsaber. If your lightsaber doesn't light, can't be used. And unlike other fencing, there is some physical contact allowed. So it's a little bit like stage fighting, right? But there are rules and there are winners. And you can also use the force.
You're the best. You are.
Shout out to my
best.
Wife, Eileen Rivera, who was looking at this earlier and was showing it to me.
Oh.
And so she's looking like, how do we find this place when we go to Paris? How do we, you know, can we visit? Can we see? And then she found the Saber Legion and she's like, oh my gosh, this is a thing. And I immediately were like,
and you're like, oh my God,
you're right.
It is a thing.
Yeah.
Lightsaber dueling, a recognized sport. In
the
France.
International Saber Combat Organization to get started. And yeah, winners are determined by the first to notch 15 points or whoever is ahead after a 3-minute round. Alternatively, if both competitors reach 10 points, the duel goes to sudden death, with the first to land a blow to the head or body becoming the winner.
Oh my God, I'm dying. This is absolutely amazing. And it's also so great because when you go to saberlegion.org, like, because I mean, one cool thing about fencing is you get to wear that mask and the what and the costume and mm-hmm. stuff, you know, but it's just a suit, a safety suit. But when you go to saberlegion.org, it is clear that the safety suit becomes a costume.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you wear the mask, but the mask can look like Darth Maul if you want it to. That's fine. That's perfectly appropriate.
Oh, my God. It has to light up. How do you like, but so I have to say I'm really disappointed because I went to the store link at saberlegion.org and they don't sell the lightsabers. Because I'm guessing this is nicer than the 17 different iterations of crappy light up lightsaber that I have bought my child.
I guess. Yeah. It does feel like, well, if you need to ask that. You're not ready.
I'm not ready.
You know what I mean?
Oh, I'm like, not.
Yeah, because this store is like, oh, we got a sticker and we got a guitar pick. Like, you know, we'll help you find. I think, you know, I read something on here and I can't find it now that said, you know, if you need the gear to get started, but contact us if you need help figuring out how to get the gear. So I think it is very much a community thing of like, we want to bring you in right. So talk to us.
I'm sure it is. There's a $40 TSL, standing for the Saber Legion, approved mm-hmm. handguard.
Right.
Which is some aluminum. Oh, my God.
Phenomenal. Resources. Yeah.
Phenomenal. I love this. I love it. Because you know what? I think it's going to be important for the children to know how to sword fight. And if this is what gets them there, like when the zombies come, we're going to run out of bullets and they're going to need to sword fight.
Good sabering gear can be found at the following locations: Blue Gauntlet, Zen Warrior Armory, Total Hockey, Total Lacrosse, Sports Stop, Lax, Hockey Monkey, Lacrosse Monkey, Play It Again Sports, and Spez Historical Fencing Gear.
Oh my goodness.
Because this does remind me, it reminds me of stage fighting a little bit. Mm-hmm. And it also kind of reminds me, it's not exactly fencing. Fencing is really quick movements and very mm-hmm. subtle. And there's lots of very particular and old fashioned rules about it. Cause I took fencing for a short period of time. Hmm. And this looks like, because you can't touch the other person in fencing. That's just not okay. And this, there are definitely people where you can like, you can grab them and I don't know. It's a whole different thing.
I'm so far down the web search, rabbit hole right now.
We were trying so hard to find out like where in France was the place, because Vice did a video where they interviewed one of the places that trains people that does classes, and we're like, where is that? We gotta find that.
Yeah, could you not gotta find go it. There for sure.
Maybe Patrick Bejo knows.
That I found a comparison of Ultra Saber versus Saber Forge,
mm-hmm.
and a place where you can do your own custom hilt and things like that. This is amazing. I love it. This is the best thing I've seen. My thing is like so lame.
Your thing will be needed after a hard day of sabering.
Well, hilariously, my thing just goes in the opposite direction. It's like we watched soccer and drank beer, we played hockey and drank beer, we like did lightsaber dueling. I probably could have picked a more
drank blue milk
trend. We drank pea milk. But
oh, I said blue milk, but you're right. Oh, blue milk kind of is pea milk.
But I'm gonna go ahead and class up the joint.
Oh, thank goodness! About
with
time.
My next thing, because a thing that has I think probably been a thing for a lot of us who just didn't want to spend a ton of money on a lot of different types of things, but is becoming now the preferred choice of sommeliers and such is mm-hmm. the universal wine glass. Like one.
So I have
wine
to buy
glass,
another wine glass.
But then that's it. You don't have to. Yeah, like the new deal is that you only need one wine glass, one type of glass. No, like red glass, white, champagne. Because for a long time, the wine people told you that you needed a different glass for all of those.
Mm.
And now it's becoming kind of like in vogue to be like, nah, you really only need the one. Like, just get the universal glass and all the wine will taste good in it, which it probably already did. But
And it's only $59 per glass.
It's $59, yeah. Well, yes.
That's one expert.
The one from Wine Enthusiast, which I think, and I was trying to verify this, but part of the reason that I feel like this is a thing is because I actually read in, I think, Food and Wine Magazine, but maybe Wine Enthusiast, that their editor-in-chief had developed this glass. So after all the years in the biz, this editor was like, you know, I think this is kind of silly. Like, we should just, you only need the one.
Okay, wait a minute. First of all, totally a thing. Like, let's just speed past that part. Like, absolutely, this feels like a thing. You've probably the thingiest thing we have on the show today. According to Andre Mack, formerly the head sommelier at Thomas Keller's Perse and the founder of Mouton Noir Wines.
Mouton Noir.
Mm-hmm. What you're really looking for is a crystal clear and thin glass that has a stem with a bowl that's larger than the top of the glass.
That's so far, so in.
He's like, look, they told you a lot of things. Really didn't matter.
Yeah.
You just need a crystal clear, thin glass, a stem. You know, the ones for parties that don't have the stem, that's practical. But if you were doing it right, you probably still need the stem.
Yeah.
And a bowl that's larger than the top of the glass.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, great. That's anything. Then immediately it's like, so we have designed the perfect one of those for $59. I'm like, no, the whole point of this is you were tricking me before when you told me I had to have these 5-7 different glasses for all the different types of wine. Now you're trying to trick me again that I need the perfect one of these when you just told me all it needs to have are these four things.
But at least you know that. And so you can do like I did, which is go to Amazon and Google like universal wine glass. And then I found this nice set of two, which looks exactly the same as the Zalto Dinkout universal glass and is $20 for two.
Can't I just go into my glassware right now and find any of the wine glasses that I got when I got married? And it's a crystal clear thin glass with a stem and a bowl that's larger than the top and just use that and call it a universal glass?
You totally can. So good news, you don't have to buy any more wine glasses. But what
they're trying to make us think we have to buy more wine glasses.
They definitely are.
By telling us we brought the wrong wine glasses.
Like, yeah, totally. You fools. I can't believe you bought the huge one with the round bulb and then the little one
you
in the stemless.
You need to buy this.
Now you need to buy this kind. I mean, you're in America, son. But
I know.
I will say I really like the shape that they have decided on as the appropriate shape for the universal glass, which is sort of like a little more angular. We'll post a link to the $59
version. It's like halfway between what you would normally consider a red and what you normally consider a white.
Exactly.
The white doesn't have the wider bowl at the bottom usually. This one does, but it's not as bulbous as the red.
It's definitely not bulbous. No, it's kind of just got like a nice little angular hip situation.
Yeah.
I like it. It's super pretty. I kind of want to buy this, the Amazon version.
See, that's how they get you.
I know.
Because it's pretty. Because well, you're right. You're not wrong.
I will
that's
say
a pretty looking glass.
A lot for a while, the trend in red wine glasses was the very big bulb. And it was thick glass. And I think it's so thick because it's really big. It's unnecessarily large. Anyway, I'm into the universal wine glass thing. And then I went to, and I know it's a thing too, because I went to some fancy restaurant that served champagne in one of these glasses, in this shaped glass. And they were like, we're just not doing we don't believe that our sommelier doesn't believe that we need to have a champagne glass anymore. I'm like, oh, okay, I guess I'll just, dramatically throw those over my shoulder and break them. Stomp on them. I'm just going to have a mazel tov party.
You should. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think that's what they were telling you to do.
I could donate them to weddings.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, you know what? Fun fact, because I had a Jewish wedding. You don't step on, it's not a glass. What you really want to step on is a light bulb. Makes a more satisfying crunch, and it won't stab through the bottom of your foot.
Now that you say that, I remember you telling me that before.
Probably.
That's good advice. Yeah. God,
we really have known each other a long time. Dang. Anyway, there you go.
Well, it's a good reminder, for sure.
The light bulb. It's a thing.
Shall
the
we get
it?
We have so much feedback.
Oh my God,
we can't
let's get right to it. I know.
Feedback.
Let's quit. Yeah. We got to quit yakking.
Angry Jeeps from Michael from Review Geek. Tom and Molly, I'm a big fan from the Buzz Out Loud days. Molly selected Jeeps in general as a thing a few months ago and recently expressed that her dream car is an 80s Land Cruiser. A thing that I've noticed lately is something generally referred to as grumpy Jeeps or angry Jeeps.
What?
Now, you'll be aware that Jeep Wranglers have always been popular choices for folks who like to work on their own cars for performance or cosmetics. A recent trend is a specific combination of aftermarket parts.
Oh my God.
Wrangler headlights with a cutout on the top of the circular bulb, optionally combined with oversized bumpers or guard bars that curve up in front of the grille. These parts make the front of the Jeep look like a frowny face as if it's really angry.
I'm dying. This is adorable.
This is the best. It really does. It looks grumpy.
It's just like
they
cars.
Also call them grumpy Jeeps, and I think grumpy is a great, great word. Yeah,
grumpy Jeep is really the best. Oh my God, you guys know all the good things. This is amazing. We got really, I think, more feedback than we can ever possibly hope to digest. No pun intended about pea milk, but here's just a sampling from Zach. My wife just bought herself some chocolate pea milk at Fresh Thyme in Grand Island, Nebraska, which I'm guessing is an indicator that it's pretty widespread. She finished it before giving me a chance to try it and liked it better than the almond and coconut milk she's tried since recently discovering a dairy allergy. I farm and have plans to start raising peas in the next couple of years. So let's start ramping up that demand and maybe start on finding a more palatable name.
Plant,
agreed.
My mine was called plant milk.
Plant
and then
milk.
It's made of peas, mm-hmm. but they didn't. Yeah. And then Greg says there's a shop in Portland, Oregon called Little Bean that makes ice cream out of pea milk.
Whoa. Yeah. I will say the Ripple website has a lot of, what do you call them? Recipes. And I'm going to have to use them all.
Brian calls pea milk one of the more terrible things to ever enter my mouth.
It was, he says.
Brian didn't like it.
A bad decision. Bland and clinical, like a post-apocalyptic nutrient drink, I think is accurate. That's accurate. Nick writes in and says, in your discussion of the popularization of physics, you mentioned how Tom's father learned algebra in college, yet Tom learned it at high school where they're, well, Nick writes, there is this thing called the Flynn effect. It's a thing where each generation is smarter than the previous generation. If you got a bunch of Gen Xers, millennials, and Gen Zs to do an IQ test, the average result, would be that the Gen Xers have a lower IQ than the millennials, and the millennials have a lower IQ than the Gen Zs.
Yeah, it's just true. Yeah.
It's unknown why the Flynn effect exists, but there are theories as to why it occurs, including better education methods, more stimuli, better nutrition, less infectious diseases, and less human inbreeding. That is freaking fascinating. And now he says there's dispute in the scientific community as if the Flynn effect may have reached the end of its progression, or if new generations will continue to experience higher IQs. It's like the Moore's law of the Flynn effect. Oh my God. And he says,
that's so interesting.
At least up to this point, humans have been getting smarter with each generation.
What? It kind of makes sense to me that you'd have a generation get smarter and then be able to pass along the smarts earlier, right? Because, you know, like it's almost like a flywheel effect. Because when I'm 16, or let's say when I'm 25, I know more than my parents did at 25, and I have a kid, so I can start telling them more things earlier than my parents could because they didn't know as much. And then now that kid knows more earlier, and by the time they get 25, then they can, you know what I mean? And it just keeps going.
I guess, yeah. I mean, as a sort of evolutionary technique, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah.
I just think it's
fascinating about the Moore's law part of it.
It
right?
makes sense that our brains would get more complex and able to retain and process more information, though, as our society has also gotten more complex. Mm-hmm. Like, I could literally see it just being an adaptation to the complexity of
our I think
society.
It would work in tandem, right? Yeah. As knowledge becomes increased, and then we adapt to be able to handle increased knowledge.
Dang, the Flynn effect. I feel so much smarter. That's fascinating. I love it. Let's see. We have so much more pea milk stuff.
How about we skip down to the inkjet?
Agreed.
I totally agree about the inkjet printers. I got a laser printer 4 years ago, and it's perfect for the occasion when you have to print something. I even get a color one, and it was less than $200. Not a super good color one, but not bad. It's wireless, sports air print, great for the last minute school project. I've recommended them to several people since getting it. Also, last year, my daughter attended a mani-pedi birthday party for a fellow kindergartner. And she has clear rain boots.
Oh my God.
Here's a picture of Beatrix, 1 month old, on May 4th.
And her name is Beatrix.
Yeah.
Old lady name. Oh, and Shannon emailed us. Shannon, I think, emailed us earlier about the old lady names. But this email, Shannon.
Thank you, Shannon.
You are literally peak thing. You personally. Yeah. She's the node.
She's the node. Shannon, tell us the next new thing you do.
Yeah, Shannon, please. Like, literally whatever you're thinking of buying or looking at or reading or watching, immediately tell us. Wow. By the way, that was leftover pea milk that you just heard there in my throat. And then finally, Matt Bat writes in and says, ring finger painting. He says, I last week chose not to send in an email about the ring finger being painted. And we're talking about fingernail paint here, not like
not finger rings, painting.
But like I was saying, that it became popular for the manicure to be every nail the same color except the ring finger, which would be a different color. And so he said, I thought that I had seen it as a thing, chose not to send an email because I asked a few friends about it and none of them had noticed it before. And then he said, I Googled it and to see if there was a meaning to just the ring finger being painted a different color, and got lots of different answers. LOL. Well, Matt Batt, you were on it. It's a thing.
Yeah. No, you had it.
Yep.
Don't listen to your friends. Your friends are no Shannons.
Literally, all you have to do is poke your mole head out of the basement and see a thing, and that makes it a thing. That's the bar, buddy. Yeah. You were
Listen, buddy, if hockey can be a thing, you're fine.
Oh, so sorry. So sorry, Tom. Thank you, everyone, for all of your emails. And honestly, without you, we wouldn't have known that pea milk is a thing. That's what little hobbits we are. We had no idea. So really, you're everything. 2 hour show.
Now the Flynn effect, we have everything. Yeah,
I know.
You guys
Seriously.
Are the best.
So thank you. Keep it coming. Feedback at itsathing.com.me. Feedback at itsathing.me is where you can email us. You can put comments on the website. And then, of course, support the show directly at patreon.com/itsathing.
We'll and talk you, to you again.
And then you get the pea milk taste test, which I know you want.
Yes, don't forget. It's exclusively at patreon.com/itsathing. We'll talk to you next time.
Bye.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight, and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.